What's going on? Hey, welcome to Spinning It. And look, here's the thing. You thought that, you know, since we're in the off season, that we'd take a little break. And, you know, to a certain extent, you know, I'm watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, how, you know, we're actually in the weeds of planning for next year already. You know, I feel like the misconception is that once you hit the off season, you get to just chill, right? And you do to a certain extent. But really, hey, we're in the weeds getting ready for next season already. But appreciate you guys tuning in. It's DJ JoJo here. And, you know, speaking of off seasons and chilling and whatnot, look, my next guest on the show today truly has no off season. Yeah, they literally go all year long. Look, it is such a pleasure to have in the show today where, you know, on Spinning It, you know, we talk a little hockey. We talk about, you know, our in-game entertainment, all the stuff that we do here at the Anaheim Ducks. Literally, we go out of control sometimes. We spin out of control sometimes, hence the term Spinning It. But sometimes, like today's episodes, we're going to go absolutely bananas up in here, man. Yes, my special guest today, I consider my counterpart, and I'm meeting him for the first time today, but he's already a dear friend of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, Ducks fans, please welcome in Mark Edis, a.k.a. DJ Shark, official DJ and PA announcer for the Savannah Bananas.
JoJo, thanks for having me, man. This is awesome. I'm looking at all the names at the board behind me. I'm a little taken aback. I get to join this great crew that you've had in here for the last 3 years. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate man. It. Thanks for coming in. And honestly, I'm taken aback because the Savannah Bananas have taken over, I say, the world right now.
It's wild.
And it all started for me just swiping through my TikTok. And I see
a couple
this,
followers.
Yeah. At the time, maybe there were a couple followers, but shoot, how many are you guys at now?
Like I lost track at, I think, 8 million plus.
8 million plus.
It's a lot over the Instagram and TikToks and all that. So,
man. And you know what? It's so cool to have you here because, again, like we obviously relate, you know, as the DJs and hosts for our teams, respectively. But again, your world is something I've been wanting to dive into for a while now. And since following the team, man, again, just seeing it blow up to what it is now, is incredible. And you guys are in town this week. Hence why you're up here in the Korea studios.
Yeah.
I appreciate you taking the time.
Pretty cool, man.
No, you guys are busy. You're going to be hitting, in addition to the games, you're going to Disneyland. Like, it's going to be crazy.
That's wild. that Bananas Disney Day tomorrow.
Oh. Hey, you know what? We've had our own days over at Disney, too. Anaheim Ducks days at the Disneyland Resort. And, man, I got to tell you, from personal experience, it is a blast. And, you know, we have been one of the only teams to kind of really do their own day. Yeah. And it's only right for you guys to join the club, Savannah Bananas Day at Disneyland.
I think Jesse Cole, our owner, big influence to him is Walt Disney, of course. And so the fact that we get to do this is, it's not lost on me how big of an opportunity it is and how cool of an experience it's going to be. When we were in Kansas City, I had to record some lines saying, hey, coming up in 30 minutes, you're going to see this cavalcade. So my voice is going to be like, in Disney?
It's crazy. So it I got to record my voice.
Cool, right?
And yes. Dude, Shark,
who gets to say they did that? Like, your voice is booming around
crazy.
The Disneyland parks. Like,
I just got the chills just thinking about it again. I make sure to film yourself
hearing
your voice over those speakers because that truly is legendary, man. Congratulations in that.
Thanks,
in
man.
Itself, man.
I'm super blessed to being a part of what we're all doing and the group of guys and the players and just the whole organization top to bottom is – you know, I can't imagine doing it with anybody else. We got a really solid group of people top to bottom.
So. That's rad. Speaking of top to bottom, I mean, you are a true testament to really starting from the bottom and now we're here.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, before I even dip into that first question, DJ Shark, this is the only acceptable shark that we're going to have in the studio.
Not the time from up the road.
Nah, I'm just playing. Nonetheless, I gotta ask though, Mark. I mean, where did DJ Shark even stem from?
Man, I wish I had a cooler story for you. But my very first radio job, I was 18 years old. I wasn't even 18 when I got hired. I went to Alexandria, Louisiana. My program director, his name was Kahuna, really strange name, whatever. my name was Mark. He's like, hey, Shark sounds good. There's 38 million Mark the Sharks who have done radio in their career. But I didn't know any better. I'm like, cool, I'll be Shark. And I ended up being Shark Man, which was kind of creepy, but I did that. And then you know, Shark's just been something I've stuck with radio-wise in my radio career. It has been my on-air name, and that's kind of just stuck. That's what I told Jesse I was going to be, and that's what it's been.
So. That's crazy. Yeah. It's interesting to see kind of the stories behind that. Like with me, when I did radio for a while, you know, my name is JoJo, but I couldn't go by JoJo because, as you know, JoJo on the radio.
Tons of JoJos.
Yeah,
too.
a lot of JoJo. So with my name being JoJo Mastrato, I kind of like combined the two, and for a while I actually went by Joe Maestro, like, you know, like a maestro conducting music and whatnot. That. So yeah, man, I mean, these stories of how we get our names is crazy, but nonetheless, hey, again, this is the only shark that we're going to have up in the, up
you.
In the studio.
Appreciate it.
No, but you know, going back to the early days, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about life before the Savannah Bananas?
Well, as I just touched on, I'm a 20-plus year radio vet. I've done, you know, when I was 17, I graduated high school in June of 95. By October, I was on an airplane to a little town called Alexandria, Louisiana, which was literally in the middle of Podunk, Louisiana. I turned 18 when I got there. I was doing, I got hired for a night show, so 7 to midnight in radio terms, a night show. Ended up doing the morning show and the night show. So I was literally, but at 18, I didn't care. I just wanted to get in the business. And my PD's like, yeah, just do the morning show with me, do the night show. So I was spending 18 plus hours at the radio station. But at 18 years old, I didn't care. That's what that was my jam.
Like, oh, yeah.
And by the way, I took that job for a grand total of $13,000. But to me, I thought that was like, oh my God, I'm rich.
Oh,
I am rolling in the dough. Really cool experience. But as a longtime radio guy, you know, you bounce around a lot. And it came a time where, you know, I knew I love radio, but I just love entertaining. And so, my very first PA gig for a baseball team was in Stockton for the Stockton Ports. They were a single A team for the Milwaukee Brewers. And that was in 1998. And that's kind of where I got my baseball roots going. Did music and announcing there for the Ports and Modesto A's at the time as well. So
nice. And did you always have a passion for sports?
Yeah, big baseball guy. I played baseball literally 1 year in high school. I hit one career home run on a hanging curveball.
Hey, there we go.
Still remember it was like yesterday.
Yeah, that's why you just left after that. You're like, hey, that was
the
peak.
Gotta go out on the high. Correct. Yeah. nothing but downhill after that. But yeah, big baseball fan, big sports fan in general from Philly, all Eagles and Phillies and all that. But yeah, I have big passion for sports. And so when Savannah happened, I ended up getting a job in radio in Savannah. September of 2015, got into town. I knew that the Savannah Sand Nats were in town. They're not cool to say anymore, but whatever. they were the AA team, I believe, for the New York Mets. But when I got to town, it was announced that they were leaving to go to Columbia because nobody was ever going to any games. And the stadium or the team wanted a new ballpark, and the city said nope.
Wow.
And then a Savannah Baseball 2016 Facebook post popped up, and I was like, huh, that's interesting. And when I tell you I spammed this Facebook page – with messages every 2 days. There's also an email address that was attached. I did that. Called a number that was attached to the office. I did everything. I mean, I was literally blowing their lines up in every which way I could, saying, I don't know what you're going to be, but I need to be your PA announcer. And somebody messaged me back one day and said, we don't even know what we're doing yet, but we'll keep you, you know, on file. And just so happened, I got a call back, and they let me come over and audition. And my audition was reading a couple of, you know, just reading a couple promo reads, you know, and I did that. And for no reason whatsoever, and by the way, there was like 7 people at the time just in the stands listening to what I was doing just to hear what I sounded like. And for no reason whatsoever, I decided to start singing Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. I'm a big karaoke guy. I love to sing. So I sang, and when I finished.
And why that song, by the way?
That's my go-to.
Is it still your go-to today?
Yep, that and, gosh, I'm a slow song guy. So, you know, Elton John, I guess it's what I call it, the blues. But anyway, so I sang Wanted Dead or Alive, finished the verse. And I hear the 7 people that were listening go like, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and honestly, I got a call the week later saying that I was the guy. So we didn't even know it was Bananas. We didn't know anything. I just knew it was a new baseball team.
And
I knew
coming.
I wanted to be it. I wanted to be a part of it. And so, I've been there ever since. And then Bananas were named, and then, man, it's wild. I mean, I always say, you know, when you're persistent, it's not bothering. They weren't going to come after me if I didn't let them know I was in town and what I was doing. They're not going to come find you. You got to go get what you want.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, to anybody that's trying to break in with somebody, if you love doing something and you know you want to be a part of something, what, you know, jump in, make yourself known to people. Again, they won't find you.
Exactly.
They're not going to come asking for you. You make sure you let them know you want to be a part of what you're doing.
Closed mouths don't get fed. Yep. Right?
No doubt, man. It's kind of like that with radio. It was that with radio.
Absolutely. It was
a lot of who you know in radio, but
for sure.
But again, they're not gonna find you. That
was my story, man. I remember being in high school and I would meet the street team over at events, and then I just started volunteering my time. I was like, I just wanted to show my face, and it was so hard to get that crack in
and volunteer,
into the
radio. Do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and
promo team, do you be
everything?
Correct.
Yeah, and then I would get my start there. Finally, they had a position that opened up. I got hired in, and then
a paid position.
Right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, do you want to be a board op?" And I'm like, "Well, my dream's to be on air, and how could I be on air without knowing how to run the board?"
Correct.
You know? And so board opping for live broadcasts and like all this stuff, and then boom, like, and then I got my shot on air. So, dude, it really was at the beginning being that kid that would show up. And
yeah,
I'm sure the street team at the time was probably like, "Who's this kid? He keeps showing up, yada, yada." But then by the time I got hired, you didn't even need to train me. I knew how to break down your tents, tables, all that stuff.
You got to pay your dues. That's never going to change. That's going to be with anything you end up doing. You got to start from the bottom and build yourself up. But make yourself irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Make it so that everybody knows you can do 100 different things.
Yeah.
It's not always going to be great or glamorous or anything, but you got to be willing to do it. When they see you want to work hard, they'll give you more chances.
Exactly. And major kudos to you too, because you could have gone the route of like, I mean, you guys should want me. I'm already a local voice here in Savannah. Like, people recognize me, and and I'm sure to a certain extent, like, that was a nice bridge, but that didn't you know, put you at a point where like, "Oh, you should be wanting me."
No,
you
absolutely.
Know, like,
no, I mean, it didn't help. It didn't hurt that I was on the radio and doing afternoon drive. I was able to interview Jesse on the show when we were trying to figure out, you know, for him to say what the baseball situation was going to be in Savannah. So, yeah, it absolutely helped a little bit that I was, you know, doing afternoon drive on a station in town. But that's not going to matter a lot for a lot of different things. So.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of Jesse, let's talk about him for a little bit here. So obviously very hands-on. Even up to now, how big it is, especially from my perspective of watching on social and all that, he obviously seems very hands-on. I mean, talk about, like, I mean, those early days of your interactions with him, your initial go, your first games, and again, leading up to how Jesse is now.
This is a great story. So, yeah, Jesse's very hands-on. It's his baby, so he needs to be, and he should be, and he's going to be, and that's all good. Early on in the Coastal Plain League, which was a college-level team that we started as, when we first started, he was like, "All right, Shark, so I need you to, you know, we got to keep the energy high." Cool. I knew that was a thing anyway. Baseball by nature is a boring sport, especially for kids. Kids' attention span is this big.
Yep.
So first thing
and
it's about
crazy
was,
how you say that, how that, then by like, even, I mean, it's even
it's
even
now.
Worse now.
Correct.
Crazy.
They've got everything at their palm of their hands, their phones, whatever. So Jesse's like, "All right, so we got to keep the energy going, music at all times." Now, as a baseball purist, I'm a big baseball fan. I know once the pitcher's on the mound, like, the music shouldn't be playing. They got to concentrate. They got to know what they're doing.
Oh.
But if you're the Bananas, we do things completely opposite. So I'm literally playing. Now, Coastal Plain League was a little different because there was still the commissioner, whose name is Justin. He's like, "Listen, once that pitcher gets on the mound, you got to have the music cut." And I was like, "Okay." And I would toy that line where the pitcher's on the mound, he's getting set, and I'm still playing something, but I'm just starting to fade it out. But the point was, we got to have something. I want energy all the time, you know. There's no dead air at all in banana ball, even early on. It was, you know, always, if I was allowed to play something, I was saying something, I was singing something, I was playing a clip of something funny to make you laugh, a movie clip, like Fat Guy in a Little Coat by Chris Farley from Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
All kinds of just weird stuff that you'd be like, "Why is he playing this in between pitches for no reason?" But one of the funniest conversations Jesse and I ever had was, he said, like, "All right, so we got to get some walk-up songs for the visiting team." And I was like, "Wait, why do I want to pump up the visiting team? Like, I want them to be so down in the dumps and not focused or not pumped up to play our guys. I want them." It's like, "No, you got to think bigger, Shark. It's about the energy for the crowd. We don't care about what the visiting team's doing. I'm not playing it for them. I'm playing it for our crowd." Now, that said, when I was picking visiting songs, walk-ups, it was like Britney Spears and, you know, stuff that, you know, more or less making, you know, poking fun. But at the same time, songs that the crowd knew and could sing to and were engaged with. So it took me a second to be like, "Okay, I'm playing music for the visiting team. This is so weird." But now it makes complete and total sense to me. But early on, when I had first met Jesse and we first started doing what we're doing, I was like, I don't know about that.
Wow.
But boy, was, you know, but now I get, you know, obviously 10 years later, I'm like, it made total sense. And so now, like, nonstop, it's like nothing, there's no dead air in between. Even during pitches and during plays, you're hearing something blaring over the speakers. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
That was my favorite Jesse interaction at first. Like, yeah, play visiting song walk-ups too. I was like, you sure?
Wow, that's
crazy. And sure enough, it's what we're doing.
You know, talking about the baseball purists, I mean, you know, I dabble into a little bit of Angels baseball across the street. And so, you know, when the away team is up, man, it is silent. It is silent. And so what would you say now after DJing for the Bananas for now, what is it, 10 years?
Ooh,
yeah.
That's crazy.
What is something that you would say that could truly, from an entertainment standpoint, translate over to real baseball or even other sports as well?
Well, I mean, it's very easy to answer is when we go to different cities, and if there's a major league game, again, we were in St. Louis. We ended up getting those games banged because of weather, but went to an Angels St. Louis Cardinals game. I'm a big Mike Trout guy. I'm from
nice. Philly.
High school
yeah.
game. Well, I announced one of his high school games. I was from Vineland, so I announced one of his games in Melville. So went to the game.
And you knew back then, huh? You just knew.
Oh, he was such a stud. Yeah. But when you go to a major league game these days, you're literally hearing 10 seconds of a walk-up. And these are mandated by MLB rules. You're playing 10 seconds of a walk-up. The second he gets in the box and the second the pitcher touches the rubber, you're out. It's nothing. No music, nothing. So there was times in that ballpark in St. Louis, which, by the way, great ballpark. There was times where you're sitting there for about 3 or 4 minutes where you're not hearing anything outside the 10-second walk-up for the batter.
You sure?
After that, you're not hearing an organ. I might have heard a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. But after that, it's like, it's super eerily quiet.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, man, that hurts my soul.
Yeah. As a DJ over doing Major League Baseball, like I'll say I'm like itching for a foul ball because I know I have time to play a prompt or to play a bed or something like that, you know? So
it's when it's so quiet, like it really, and you know, it hurts my heart to hear nothing going on. No energy. The crowd's just kind of, even on days where the crowd's good, you just don't hear anything. It's just a graveyard. I'm like, and so, you know, in Banana Land, I'm like, it's nonstop. Like, I'll tell you this, after a show, it takes me a good 3 or 4 hours to decompress because we're just so up here.
So,
and we're going here to here. But I listen to sports talk. That's my decompression.
Yeah. Same here. Talk. After a gig, I tend to listen
music.
To podcasts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so I'm the same way.
But yeah, attending a regular major league game after doing what I've done for the last, you know, 10 years, especially during Banana Ball the last 3 or 4 years, it was depressing.
Yeah.
And so the game, you know, the thing that to me would translate over. I love the fan caught foul ball for an out. That's probably my favorite Banana Ball rule. I mean, talking about majorly getting the fans involved, it gets no better than that. One of our the party animals played in Albuquerque to start their part of the world tour, their headlining tour. Their game against the Tailgaters, our newest Banana Ball team, ended on a fan catching a foul ball, hit by the party animals. Tailgaters got their first win in their careers.
That's crazy.
And the kid
thanks to the fans.
They went out, got him, brought him on the field for their dance. Like, that is the epitome of what Banana Ball is, involving the fans as much as possible. You know, our player interaction with the fans is second to none. And again, I've told you, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, the guys on all our teams, and again, from top to bottom, office to tickets to whatever, I mean, we're all about making sure the fans have the best experience possible and making sure we're available to them. And it makes my heart happy just knowing what we're doing.
That's awesome, man. And look, I gotta rewind a little bit.
Let's go.
And I literally just caught myself saying when I asked you a question earlier, it was like, hey, the difference between you know, doing this and I said real baseball. First of all, I gotta take that back and I gotta almost kind of apologize here for a sec. because, you know, the question I really asked is like, What do you say? What do you say to people that say, oh, I'm like, man, that's like that. They're just like the Harlem Globetrotters of like, that's not real baseball, yada, yada. I mean, I literally caught myself like, wow, did I just really say that? But like, dude, like it is crazy to see the sentiment. But there's literally like at the end of it, the numbers don't lie. No. You're selling out stadiums. The engagement is crazy. But yeah, I mean, what do you say to all that?
I'm glad you brought up the Globetrotters, because that's the biggest comparison. There's like, you're gonna compare, you're the Globetrotters of baseball, and you know, okay. Big, the most humongous difference between Globetrotters and what we do is the Globetrotters, I think, have lost one time in 100 years. Whatever the number is, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Whereas the games for Banana Ball, they're not predetermined at all. Mm. I mean, Globetrotters and their generals, they know who's winning on each night, whatever. When those two teams get between the lines, they are trying to win the game at all costs. I mean, and what I also tell people is the quality of baseball that you get, aside from all the dances that are choreographed and all that, that's amazing. They spend a lot of time at the ballparks before people come in the ballpark working on those dances and the walk-ups, the specialty stuff that we do. The amount of time these guys put in the actual baseball work is incredible. The baseball itself is amazing. These guys are great athletes. They put on a show. You know, the D.R. Meadows, our backflipping center fielder, like, makes these catch look routine now. You know, these between the legs plays in the infield. I don't know a whole lot of people that can do that on a regular basis. And we've got guys that are doing it on the most routine of basis. So it's like, that's what I try to tell people. Yes, the dances are choreographed, the skits that we do in between, you know, the walk-ups, they're all planned. Everything else, the baseball stuff, you can't script somebody hitting a home run. I don't care how many times you tell me it's not possible. It can't happen. Yeah, so
and yeah, those pitches aren't just floating. They're not, you know, pitches guys, over the plate. They want to yeah.
Any athlete worth their yeah, they want to win out there. They're not trying to serve up gopher balls. They're not just, you know, for the fans. I mean, if it happens for the fans, cool. Big moments are fun. But these guys, when it comes down to it, they're competitors. They want to win every single time. So that's the biggest misnomer about, you know, Banana Ball. None of these games are fixed. The umpire who's dancing, Vincent Chapman, by the way, is my best friend. He's my roommate.
I was looking at that on your Instagram. I was like, yeah, do they room on the road? Like yeah, that, dude, that shower pose, by the way, like that. sorry. Let me give a little more context before I just say shower.
We did not. Pose. Yeah, that's pause. Major pause. The hotel we're at, took a shower this morning. Vince is a late sleeper. I am not. I get up at butt crack of dawn. I'm in the shower. I get in. I turn on the water, and literally got a concussion. The shower head literally flew off into my dome, and I screamed some not nice words really, really loud at about 7 a.m. So I'm sorry if you were next to us or around us, because you would have heard me. After I got out, I went over and I, you know, whatever you saw in the video, I told Vince, like, did you hear me just scream like that? Because he was awake at that time. And yeah, I was not happy, but it's okay. Got it fixed. But yeah, I got a little bruise on my head.
What? Wait, was this recent?
It was this morning.
This morning?
As we record this.
In
this
Anaheim?
Morning. Yeah, but we're not going to, yeah, we don't need to, you know.
Whoa.
Being thrown in.
Oh, hey. Can't be having, you know, we already got to keep your head on a swivel during games for foul balls and stuff. You don't need to be.
Shower heads.
Yeah, shower heads apparently.
And then I'm like, well, yeah, so it's all good. We got to figure it out. But yeah, so Vince Chapman, my best friend, we've you know, when he came in to try out, when we did initial tryouts for Banana Ball, he was one that came in audition as the umpire, and we've been close ever since, and we room everywhere we go. We're like brothers. We're
That's
family.
That's awesome, man.
And so, you know, it's fun. I sometimes get lost in – I get every game I get to play a song for him in particular. I mean, he dances anyway.
He'll
shake his booty anytime, no matter what, during the pitch, no matter what. But there's times, one time per game called the 4-1-1, like fourth inning, first pitch. After the first pitch is thrown, he'll do his dance. And when I tell you, like, I'll play a song, we'll pick song. I just pick different songs for him, basically booty bass songs so he can do what he does. I'll get lost in just watching the crowd pop so loud for that guy.
Yeah.
But he's one of the nicest dudes you'll ever meet. He's great at what he does. He's all about the fans, putting on the show, and we've got a lot of that. So it's really fun to work with people that are very creative, very, very talented. And so, yeah, I mean, bottom line is I've got the greatest job ever.
Oh,
there's no question in my mind,
dude. That is, man, I got the chills just like really thinking about it, because, you know, I love what I do here in Anaheim and as well. And, you know, obviously doing like every single Ducks game, you know, dabbling a few games here and there over across the street with the Angels. And it truly is, man, special to just like be talking to someone who shares that same sentiment on such a big stage right now with the Savannah Bananas. It's, and you know, even kind of even going back again just a little bit, like, when did you feel like it was taking that turn? Like you mentioned earlier, you're like, yeah, you know, the baseball purist in me was questioning a few things here and there, and I started to realize that, like, yo, he's right. The visiting songs are cool. Like, you know, when did it start to make that turn? And then even part two to that, when did it start to, like, really blow up for you where you're like, wow, we're going to really take this to a bigger stage, stadiums all over the place and yada, yada?
Well, I think COVID year, TikTok became the thing that everybody was doing. That's how you spent your time. You're forced to be inside. And, I mean, TikTok has propelled us a lot. I mean, we have so many followers that, you know, I think over all major league teams, more than any major league team combined.
Crazy.
Party Animals also have surpassed the number that they have more followers than any major league team involved or around. So yeah, I think when I knew, when Jesse first talked about Banana Ball, I was like, all right, this is going to be cool. This is going to take out all the most boring parts of the game, and we're going to make it better for the fans, better fan experience, you know, involve the fans with the fan caught foul ball, 2-hour time limit. Again, that's a biggie also. I mean, you know, when you go in, you know, you're there for the pre-show. We have such great shows before the peel, which is my favorite name ever. Like, so young professor Matt Graver is a host of that. They've spent a lot of time putting that together. So from the time you get to the ballpark, parking lot or otherwise, you're getting entertained. Gates open, and then at 7 o'clock when the first pitch is thrown, you know that at 9 o'clock, you know, barring a showdown coming, you're going to have, it's just nonstop, just go, go, go. You know, you're getting entertained. And so that obviously helps. I think if you would have told me, you know, in 2016, when we first started, that we'd be selling out major league ballparks, and then, you know, Clemson, 81,000 people was just bonkers.
Crazy.
I probably wouldn't have, you know, thought that per se. But It's gonna sound like I'm. When Jesse Cole wants to do something, he'll make it happen. We'll be playing on Mars in 2 years. I have no doubt. Like, you guys going to the game on Mars? When's your flight? Like, I have no doubt that something crazy like that's gonna happen, because his mind's just always working. He's always trying to improve the fan experience. He's always trying to improve what we can offer. So it's really cool to have a leader like that at the helm, because I mean, literally what we can do is sky's the limit.
Yeah. As far as obviously, you know, playing in front of bigger and bigger and bigger crowds, obviously you've also got the attention of, you know, celebrities, professional athletes, like wanting a piece of the Bananas. I mean, can you talk to a few that are most memorable to you in terms of special guests and people that you got to announce from your end?
First one that sticks out, obviously, John Cena. Last year's first stop in Tampa at George Steinbrenner Field.
It's crazy. You couldn't see him, though.
No, it's a shame. I mean, it's such a big moment. And he'll be here all week. That was amazing. Young professor, what is he doing? Young professor is from the wrestling background. He was a ring announcer, and so I know for him, and hopefully you get to talk to him at some point soon. But hopefully, I know for him, that was a career moment, getting to announce John Cena out, and that crowd was just bonkers.
Crazy.
And he was filming a movie at the time, so he came up to plate. He got down real low, just, you know, he wasn't interested in swinging, I don't think. But the pop that he got was great. Selfishly, I'm a longtime radio guy. I love music forever, but I'm a boy band guy. So I'm like an NSYNCer.
And yeah.
I'm a Backstreet Boy guy. We had Brian Littrell.
Brian, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
In Savannah. We had, I got Chris Kirkpatrick. I've gotten to be friends with Chris Kirkpatrick, which is stupid to think about.
No way.
It. So we had him in Nashville last year. I just had, when we were in Nashville here, got him to the game. We had lunch the night, or dinner the night before, and asked me what I did.
What did you do?
Spilled my whole glass of water all over whole glass of water all over Chris Kirkpatrick's lap. And he's still my friend today, so thank you, Chris. I told him, I was like, good thing it didn't happen the first time we met, or I'd never talk to you again.
Yo, that's crazy.
But no, so like, just...
I'd probably do the same thing, though. You get nervous.
People who I never thought I'd even, you know, that I was fans of, that I never thought I'd have the opportunity to be around or call friends on, and... Man,
dude, that's rad.
But I got to tell you, the coolest moment that I think that has happened to date was in Kansas City. Saturday night, we had a wounded warrior, gentleman named Godet. And he came up to bat, and we announced him out. Young professor announced him out, and he came up, and he was taking a bat. He's a double amputee, and we announced him to come up to bat, and he swung and hit, I think, fouled four pitches off. And Nolan Daniel was a pitcher. He's firing him in there pretty good. He gets a hit to right field. I play the Gwen Stefani,
Oh, yeah.
But then at that point, both teams are running over to first base to surround him and hug him, and they're clapping. So I stopped the music so the crowd can just be the soundtrack, right? Let the crowd do its moment.
Yeah.
And then a USA chant broke out. Yes. And when I tell you I was crying like a baby in my booth, I'm a very emotional guy anyway. I love these kind of moments, but I also love when organic moments happen like that, and the crowd was just going crazy. The USA chants, and I was a blubbering mess in the booth. And I'm okay to tell you that.
Yeah, like, that's amazing.
These kind of things, like this, I've loved what I've done for so long. I know I'm in a good spot. I know I'm in a great, you know, spot in my career, and with an organization that is just incredible, and the people I'm with. But that night made me really, really, really understand and really hit home how cool I've got it.
Wow, man.
It was amazing, man.
I got chills just listening to that right now.
It was such a cool moment.
Dude, that's got to be on tape somewhere. I gotta be able to watch that.
Yeah. We put it up. We didn't see the foul balls, but, man, the hit to right field, gosh.
Dude.
The place erupted. The players, everybody, both teams went over to hug him. It was just one of those cool moments that I'll never forget.
And that's incredible. You know, even leading up to that, talking about the big celebrity moments and whatnot, like,
yeah, celebrity moments are cool. That's the moment.
That's the moment. Speaking of the moments, I mean, you know, a part of having these moments is got to be, you know, part of that. And in our world is to have that, you know, that supportive cast around us, man. Our families who literally are okay with us being away night in, night out. And I experience it from a local standpoint. I mean, you know, my wife, I remember what caused the waterworks at our wedding, and the few people that I work with here, who I obviously consider family, because sometimes you're with your work family more than you are with than your own, was there was a moment in my vows where I said, all the nights that I canceled date night because I picked up a gig, or I picked up a shift, or something came up and you stuck through me, like, that still to this day, like, hits hard.
You're tearing
for me
up right now,
you know?
And that's okay. Listen, this is real life stuff.
Yeah, for real.
That, like, I don't think people understand enough about.
Yeah, 100%.
Your line about spending much more time with each other than we do our own families is 1,000% true. And I could tell you with 1,000% certainty, if my wife Sarah and my sons Ben and Anthony and my daughter Alyssa didn't completely have my back and believe in what I'm doing and let me do what we're doing. We were traveling from February through September.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a long time.
Crazy.
You know, hotel life is a thing. And so it's my job, first of all, when I'm home, to be present. Like, when I'm home for the few days I'm home before we travel again, like, we'll be home Monday from California and then Wednesday back on a bus to Charlotte to get ready for our football stadium games.
Wow.
And so that's literally a day and a half that I'll be home to spend time. So when I'm home, I need to be home and present. And my mind needs to be on my wife and my kids and my family. So in the hotel, when I get home at night, like, being out here 3 hours difference, I'm not going to be able to talk to my wife probably. She'll be asleep. But you got to try to make time whenever you can for that family that's showing so much support. I couldn't do what I'm doing now without that. You know, in fact, and I didn't really talk about this much, but I've been with the Bananas 10 years. I've retired once.
Okay.
Retired once. Got it. So much so that I got a jersey presented to me on the field.
Oh, wow.
And this was because of just the radio schedule. I was doing both. I was showing up at the radio station at 5 a.m. doing the morning show, driving to Savannah from Brunswick, which is an hour and 20 minutes, to do the game, and getting back home about 11:30 or midnight, and then getting up at 4 a.m. again to do radio again. I was not home.
It just
home
took
to
its toll.
Family. It was just feeling like, okay, something's got to give. And my radio job was my bread and butter at the time. And so I didn't feel like I could, you know, give everything I had to that. So I retired, ended up coming back. And Coach Gillum says I retired twice too. One is another health thing, but
yeah,
I'm back. And there's a reason I've been back. I was meant to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, ball don't lie, as they say. Like, I'm supposed to be here. For whatever reason, I'm here. And so, I'm just I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. And I've been, 10 years strong now, and it's just amazing.
And credit to you. I mean, sometimes when you take that moment to retire and really hang it up, I mean, it's got to take
week,
some.
Yeah,
it lasted a week.
I was like, I'm coming back.
What happened within that week that really made you realize, and I have to go back to wife and be like, hey, I'm gonna go back.
She was surprised I made the decision. She wasn't like pushing me to go.
Yeah.
Like it was all me. But the thought was in my head saying I can't, and again, I don't know if this makes me selfish or whatever, but I kept saying to myself, I can't imagine anybody else but me doing this job. Maybe that makes me selfish or not, but I know what I bring to the table. I know my I know how much I love my group of people over there, and they've always had my back. And so I felt like I can't imagine not doing this. Something made me go back and made me want to be a part of it. And man, I'm glad I did. I got talked into it again.
And a huge testament to obviously the org and the Bananas for embracing you with open arms like that. You know, they could have gone the other way. And like,
they
were
happy with whatever decision I made. They've always had my back from day one, which makes me want to give everything I have to them. And I do. And I really, really do. I keep saying it, man, but I'm so lucky to do what I'm doing.
Dude, that's crazy.
I'll sit back, even though I'm like nonstop from literally time gates open pregame. And then when the game starts, it's really like I have no chance to breathe. But when we do Hey Baby, which is the fourth inning thing that we'll do, where I get all the crowd danced around, and Yellow, where we have everybody turn their flashlights on and we'll sing Yellow by Coldplay.
Oh, yeah.
That's the two times that I get to just kind of sit back, look around. And one time in particular at Clemson with 81,000 people. And when I tell you, just like, that's an emotional moment too, Yellow, seeing 81,000 people, phone lights on, lights are off in the stadium. And you're just looking around like, these people paid their hard-earned cash, made trips summer trips built around what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lost on us. That's a thing for people that they're literally scheduling their summer trips around coming to see us and stuff. So we all put our best feet forward, put on the best show possible, and with that in mind every single night.
Wow. Dude, that's crazy. Wild, man. And it's so cool because you're coming from Savannah, which your stadium holds.
This year started at 5,000. We just we got more seats and we got a new scoreboard, new video board, new turf, new lights. So it feels like a brand new ballpark. So it's incredible.
Regardless if it's around 5,000 or so or in front of 81,000, you're putting on that same effort.
Yeah,
the
crowd
same show
matter.
Night after night.
Like
yeah.
I don't think when I'm going into a show, I don't think about, okay, well, this is going to be, like in Savannah, like you said, 5,000 or it doesn't matter. I'm still doing what I do. I'm doing what I know how to do the best to get the crowd engaged, whether it is 5 or 81 or whatever the number is. If I've got you singing or dancing or smiling or laughing, I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
I'm making sure you're engaged the entire time. I'm making sure that, you hear a song that you haven't heard in a while. I kind of like that the most. Like I will play songs that I obviously want them to sing as loud as they can.
Of course, yeah.
But if they hear a song they haven't heard in a while and be like, damn, it's been a minute since I heard that. That's cool too.
Yeah.
Any reaction is a good reaction. I didn't do this because I'm usually not a fan of asking for forgiveness after I do something. I mentioned I'm an Eagles fan. I don't know if you know this. They won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And they beat
congratulations.
The best quarter. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. They beat a guy named Patrick Mahomes, who's amazing. We played in Kansas City. You know where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to play Fly Eagles Fly so bad. But why? I didn't want to make anybody mad.
Because
only people who got the joke was me. We have a couple of other Eagles fans in the organization. But I didn't play Fly Eagles Fly. I really, really wanted to.
Do you looking back? Do you regret not playing it?
No, because there's no reason for that. I don't want them to get mad. Again, I would have been the only one, and people that understood and really appreciated the joke of it. It wouldn't have been a joke to people in Kansas City. So I'm sorry if. It was crazy.
Just like the players, he's a man of the people, regardless of...
no matter what.
No matter what. Because that could have been a big moment for you, but hey, It's all about more the thousands of people in Kansas City that were there. No, I totally get that.
I do want to share one funny story. We started the touring part of Banana Ball back in 22. One City World Tour, Mobile, Alabama. We were there for 2 nights. I think it was 4,500 people, maybe 55. One of the nights we were supposed to have a guy that was on The Voice come and sing the anthem for us, but he got stuck in traffic, wasn't going to make it. So Jesse said, hey, Shark, you're going to just lead the crowd. You're going to start to lead the crowd and they're going to sing the anthem as a group.
Nice.
I said, cool. All right, Shark, take it away. And here's what I did. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Name one song I just started singing.
Oh, no.
I started Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And the whole crowd started singing it, too. And about 4 seconds in, I hear Jesse on the crowd mic say, National Anthem, Shark. And I'm like, oh, say can you. When I tell you I turbled up.
That was majestic
up,
just now.
Thank you. No, I love to sing. Don't even get me started
on
that.
Whoa.
When I tell you I turbled up, I turned red and purple, and Biko Scala, our broadcast entertainer from BTV, it was one of the first times we were ever glass to glass next to each other when he was doing the broadcast and I was doing PA stuff. When I tell you, he was looking at me and just kind of like, oh, my God. He always said when he heard me start the countdown, the 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, he said, I knew you were going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I said, why didn't you knock on the glass and make sure I did it?
Oh, my God.
But after that, people thought I did it on purpose. And I tell you, I couldn't have made it that good if I tried to do it on purpose.
Wow.
And it was such a bananas thing to have had happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game as the anthem. No, I did not do it on purpose. It was totally a screw up. I was so red and turtling down. But it was one of those organic moments that I'm grateful that it happened.
Yeah.
Like it was, the crowd sang it like it was a normal thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, it was. That's one of the coolest moments of my career.
But that's the beauty behind Banana Ball, right? Yeah. You have your own norm. You have your own norm.
Yeah, which is do the opposite of everything it is.
Dude, that's all. Dude, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know we could talk for hours on hours on hours. And hopefully when you guys come touring back around here. Cause
we'll do part two. Absolutely.
We'll do another show. But,
this
you
is
know.
Awesome.
You gotta tell the people on the last note here the thousands on thousands are gonna be flooding the stadium here across the way. Ducks fans and just baseball fans and just fans of entertainment.
You don't have to
as
be
a
fan
whole
of
out here.
To like what we're doing. That's the part I really want people to know too.
What do you gotta tell them going in? And really, actually, giving the people who missed out on getting tickets, really giving them the FOMO, I guess, on this one. I mean, what are we to expect from you guys this week as you roll through here in SoCal?
That's a loaded question. That's a lot to answer. But listen, don't blink or you'll miss a lot.
Don't blink.
It's nonstop stuff going on. I mean,
hit the bathrooms before the game.
Yeah,
get all your food at once.
Get all your concessions before you, because once the show starts, which is once pregame starts, it's. We entertain from start to finish, man. I try to tell everybody there's always something that's going to have you. I want people to know that they're going to laugh, they're going to cry, they're going to be emotional. There's going to be things that happen and songs that are played that take you back. Like music is such a huge part of a lot of people's lives. You hear a song, you know exactly where you were in that moment, takes you back to a moment in time, whether it was your kid being born, a high school memory, whatever. Music is that denominator that does that for you.
Yep.
So you're going to be dancing a lot. Your feet are going to hurt. You're definitely not going to have a voice when you leave. You're just going to see things that you're going to, if everything goes the way we want it to for you, you're going to leave there knowing you had the night of your life. You're going to want to do it again. You're going to want to make sure people that you love get to experience it. And yeah, you're gonna feel the passion that we all have for what we do. That's the big. I'm getting emotional thinking about that. You're gonna leave knowing that we put everything we have into the experience that night.
Yes, and that's what we do, guys. As DJs, hosts for our respective teams, Ducks fans, know, man, that's what I try to do. Every single home game here at Honda Center, and I can't wait to get back into it in next season. But for someone like my good friend Mark here, aka DJ Shark, this is now an all year thing, and that is why I'm even more thankful that he was on the show today, man.
Thank you.
Official DJ, PA announcer, DJ Shark, my man. Thank you for coming on Spinning It, man. Let's go.
Appreciate you. Go bananas, everybody.
Let's go.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.